We're on. So this is for March the 17th, 2024. Special transmission for Facebook on Sunday, our morning service. You know, I want to kind of talk about, capitalize on what Mike, Brother Mike, preachers I know, and EL, my cousin, Jones, said, wonderful brothers in the Lord, ministers just like myself, and kind of talk a little bit more on some more things that they talked about. You know, a lot of times we kind of lose sight because we're worried about what people think about us so much, and we're always out to seek to get one's approval, don't we? You know, we tend to want to flay ourselves and try to make ourselves be busy, and we act like we're so busy that sometimes we don't take time for somebody else, like for people we don't want to be around, or maybe people that are handicapped in our families, or maybe people we know that we try to purposely avoid, or maybe we think that maybe because they needed some help right at the beginning when they went to a church that, and I'm not saying this is the case, but it could be, possibly, is this fear does a lot of things in people. I'm just giving you some examples. But I experienced this at a church. You know, they're just kind of like closed and kind of to themselves, and they're all local, you know, local yokels. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they don't want nobody new in there. It's on fire. It's different. It don't sound the same like them. Or they might have a handicap and they might need some help with some things. And now they probably think, oh, well, that person's going to always need my help. So we're just not going to pick them up anymore because maybe they might have needed that help. And we just don't want to have nothing to do with that because we're just afraid of the unknown, because we don't know the extent of how disabled they are. Are they going to always be needing money from us? Are they going to always need something from us? Oh, we're just going to stop picking them up and have nothing to do with them anymore, or her anymore. It's a her. Because they're not like the rest of us, you know. You know, they're going to always want something. They're always going to need something. And some people have this philosophy, but you know, me, when I need something, I do ask when I need it, but it's not all the time. I tell you, it's a lot more times I do without, and I do it myself, you know, really on God's perspective and on His help, because I trust way more in Him than I do in people. And that's what God has really taught me to say, you know, really emphatically. I want to say hi to people out there in the room. We got somebody just came on here. It says, bring them. All right, we are bringing them. Langley. Maybe you can help me bring some. I'm trying, but you know, I can only do but so much. But the Lord has told me to say this from the Holy Spirit to grace you with this morning. We're still censored. Somebody censored me again, and I'm all restriction until tomorrow, you know, where you can see me everywhere on Facebook and everywhere, you know, on only Facebook, not everywhere else, just Facebook is being a prune. But you can see me tomorrow after 3:30. So this will probably be going out a lot more after that. But right now, you can only see it in the feed, I think. Is that right? In the storyline, too, because this is automatically. I set it up that way. So it still goes there, thank the Lord. So it does get out a little bit more. So it's not fully being censored, but you can go right to my timeline and see it, if that's what you did. Thank you, sister, for doing that this morning. But I'll tell people we're on the air, New Hunter Church of Christ Online Ministries. We're trying to bring the people, just like the sister said down there. I used to get offended by that, but I know what they're saying, encouraging people to join, because she's on here, and more people could be on here just like that. You know, Jesus doesn't want us to cowtail and fear and run. You know, we don't have to work or be in a competition, because we just need to step out of that paradigm or that structure and just go do it. Jesus says, you know, I'm here. Do not be afraid. What did he mean when he said that to Peter? You know, when Peter was walking on the water and he kept his eyes fixed upon Jesus after he calmed the seas in the boat. What did he mean? He was saying that I'm here, therefore you have nothing to fear. The same thing he says to us today. You know why a lot of things we get held back in our challenges and our jobs, our career path, or maybe new opportunities, is because of that F-E-A-R factor. And that's like a show, but it also is true. We all have major fear, cosmetic issues in our life, don't we? We do. Even I have some fear, and we all do. I wouldn't be a human or a preacher. I mean, we all do. I would be lying to you if I told you I didn't have fear. Now, I may have far less fear than most of you have, but I still face fear. The fear factor, I call it, at times, just like the rest of all of you. But it's what you do with that fear, how you turn that fear around and have a plan of action. You know, make it into a plan action or service plan. You know, where you can turn that fear and turn it into good. And then guess what? That fear evades. Just like when you turn the light on, the darkness evades. It goes away. Evades means it goes away because it's replaced by the light. Well, when you have a plan of action, it also evades too, also, because you're turning that energy to good and you have God, you have an adversary, a partner, where the two steps become one, like it talks about in Psalms 91. And the two steps are really Jesus holding you and walking beside you, and then you merge together. We talked about
12:30 p.m.
in other videos. But it's really true, folks. Replace that fear with a plan of action. Don't worry about what your family has to say. Don't worry about the rumors in people's lives because they're jealous because they can't do what you're doing, or they're afraid, or they don't think you'll be able to achieve it, so they try to put curses and they say and invoke curses on you. You know, even though they don't think they are, but when you talk about things and you put people down, you hold people back from what they're supposed to be doing, that's what's happening. Invoking curses is what that is. And we need to be discouraged as Christians to stop doing that to other people and allow them to have a chance and allow them to have the glory to shine where God has placed them. Amen. In Shekinah glory. Amen. Where they can best shine and glow and do the work for Jesus. Where they can be the foot, the hands, the arms, the, you know, the elbows, you know, the mouthpiece, the breastplate, the sword, the truth. You know, don't let nobody try to steal that away from you. Don't let no Facebook or no group of people trying to silence you or shut you up. That means you're on fire and you've really made somebody really angry, as they would say. You really pissed somebody off, because you know what? You're pissing on them with the truth. And they, of course, a lot of people that don't like the truth do get pissed off when they're getting pissed on, because the truth tends to do that. So don't let that bother you. That means you're right on target. That's why they're coming after you, because you're telling the truth. So sometimes, you know, you got to give up some things. When you become a Christian, you got to give up that old way of life. That's part of the action plan we talked about, breaking away from fear, because all this ties in together. You know, your new way of looking at things. You know, I got to give up that old booze. I got to give up that old habit, the old familiar places that used to comfort me or give me a security blanket. I got to give that up because it's not good. What happened to the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus? He says, Lord, I've done everything you wanted me to do. Teacher, what must I do? And what did Jesus tell him? Of course, we find out later on in that text in Matthew, then he went away dismayed. But let's talk about what happened there. Let's break it down. What happened? He didn't want to give up the creature comforts of his life. He didn't want to give up his friends. He didn't want to give up all the old ways of life. Even though he did most of the commandments, but the one thing Jesus asked him to do profoundly, because those possessions he had were more like a distraction. That's why he asked him to give up. I feel that from the Holy Spirit, that it was a distraction. That's why Jesus challenged him. And he may have to challenge some of you out here, or us, some of us out here, to give up some of those things that are hindering us from our truly prominent potential to do great work for him in the kingdom of God and in the church. Amen? But it's really, really absolutely true. These things are obstacles, or what we call millstones. You know, Jesus says, I throw all these millstones at you. That might be a sin. That might be a habit. That might be a stronghold. What is a stronghold? As it's defined as it is, it is where something takes more precedence in your life than God. Or it is an obstacle that gets in the way of everything else that you're trying to do that's noble and good. That's what a stronghold is. And it's so debilitating, it paralyzes you, because you're not able to do anything else. You know, Scripture tells us that Jesus says, I'm here, do not be afraid. That's what he said to the disciples, and that's what he says, I'll say it again. For are all of us here today hearing and listening to us, whether we're on satellite radio, whether we're on Facebook Live, wherever we are this morning in our walk in Christ, we are here and we're not afraid to speak the truth in Jesus. And that's what we all gotta be. We're on fire. This zeal sometimes it scares people. I think it scares some of them old folks at Old Ford Church of Christ. They like that on fire, that zealous kind of spirit. Some of them weren't uncomfortable. They were uncomfortable with that. So they just didn't want to ride me. There were some other reasons, you know. Or maybe I asked, maybe I was paranoid some of the old people because they needed a hearing aid because they couldn't afford to get one. And so they said, because I asked some questions, it was too much questions, you know. It was too much for them because they couldn't hear. You know, because, you know, I was asking some questions to make sure what I was hearing was correct, which it was. But I wanted to clarify some things to make sure. Because sometimes we say things when we teach, and sometimes it's not always what the Bible says, but it was. And this guy was on fire. The preacher was great. But some of the people in the church, they need a dose of my energy. They need a dose of my zeal. And I had somebody come to me in the old church building over there and say to me, thank you for coming and your wonderful energy. I said, well, that's the kind of energy you need to have up there singing. He's one of the singers up there in the choir. That's the kind of energy the preacher should have more of. You know, I was talking about him too as well. You know, you need to have that kind of zeal, that real fervor in life. You shouldn't be disturbed by that, because that's the way all Christians should be. We should be on fire for the Lord. We're not supposed to be reserved or be restrained. And Jesus says this kind of zeal is an unrestrained, unbound, unhold. When we look at the Bible in the Greek, it's an on fire, it's like a fever kind of zeal. And it's the kind of zeal we need to have in the congregations all across America and around the world. We need to get that zeal and fire it back in our children and in our adult population. That's what's wrong with us, because we've given up all that stuff and went after other things that are not noble or good, and traded the truth in for a lie, and we came more like the world in our churches. That's the problem. Old Ford is a real nice church, but they still have some problems over there. You know, every church does. You know, I could go to different churches and I could find the problems as a minister. Yeah, I can see the problems, you know, whether it be with the sound, whether it be the way they're doing the music, whether they're, you know, maybe they need to learn a little more about music technique. I don't know. But different churches have different problems. Maybe you need a better sound man. Of course, that wasn't the case at Over 4. They had a good sound man there, you know, when I was there. But when people make excuses up, that's a sign of fear or a sign of avoidance, or, you know, they're doing something else. You know, that's why they didn't want me to come, or why they didn't pick me up. They said, oh, I had to learn a song. I said, well, you know, I could go to the church and I could learn. I could go there early and I could sing with you if you want me to, because I do this professionally. I do it all the time. I even make my own CDs and I go on the air. And I have helped churches with their ministries and helped praise teams in a number of churches of Christ. I have no problem helping you to improve this a little more, because I hear some problems here. You know, like they couldn't remember where to come in on a song and get messing up, and they had to count, you know, one spot, but they should already know they shouldn't have to do that, because it's not, doesn't look good uniform when they're counting the steps out loud. But, you know, some people might need that, but it doesn't look very professional, okay? But like all those little things, they can be big things in the kingdom of God and also be an obstacle. They hold you back from more because of the way it's coming across. It's barring your potential, because it's making you look like you're not as prepared or ready. And, you know, I saw that some there at Old Ford with the singing. And I saw that, and of course, when the preacher spoke, he was very well astute and prepared. He knew his sermon very well, and he studied, and he showed himself approved because of that effort. And see, he didn't have the fear. He spoke with boldness and clarity, like me, with tenacity, with no fear whatsoever. He spoke about things that most churches won't even speak about, you know, which I covered on another video. I mean, that's why I got censored. I don't know, but I wouldn't say another wrong, but you know, Facebook is becoming more like YouScrew. That's what they call YouTube, but Facebook is becoming like that too, evidently. Because, you know, if anybody can just go in your profile and censor you, they can do it to all you too. If they don't like something you said, they can go in there and censor you the same way they censored me. You don't think so. You keep doing that, you're going to find that out. They can make it up and lie and censor you. That's what they did to me. Because they don't want to hear that truth. Because I hit a bone and they got really mad or got real pissed off about it. Because they were getting pissed on. See? That's true. The truth pisses on you. And yeah, it will inflame you. And make you do things like that when you're not living right. Or when you're not believing right. Or when you're not in the right path. That's why people do things like that, because they don't want to hear the truth. They think, well, maybe I'll just shut him up or shut somebody else up and maybe it'll just go away. Now, that just makes it more bigger, the fire. It never goes away, people. You're just playing games and you're just on the side shadow of just being put into hell when you die. Playing games, you're just putting it off a little bit, but when you die, you can't put it off anymore, because once you die, it's said, it's done. Your fate is sealed. That's why you need to work and do these things and improve yourself now. You're never going to be perfect. So get that perfectional attitude and thought out of your head, because nobody's perfect. The only one that came here that was perfect and was gentle as a lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of his trials and being nearly beat to death, he was still a gentle lamb. Unlike the rest of us. We would never, never survive what he endured. Think about that this morning. I'll say it again. We would never survive what Christ endured. Think about that really this morning. Just want to pause for a few seconds. I want you to think about that. He rose above all fear like we should do. We should not be worrying about oppression. We should not worry about this crazy government. It doesn't matter who's running the office. Because the gospel and the work must be done to change hearts and minds for Jesus. And it doesn't matter what they try to do to sequester speech. It doesn't matter what they do to defame people or what they do when they tell all the lies they tell that aren't even true, or make up stuff and charges on people. You should not let that bother you at all or hinder you in your work or efforts. But we are above that as Christians. If you're a true Christian this morning, we are above those tactics. Just like the people in the first and second century churches in Revelation, as John Mark wrote the letter to us, telling us all these horrible things that were going on, but yet a lot of good things were going on. Amen. People were getting changed. Churches were growing. Lives were being changed. And people were getting out of the liberal and traditional mess like what's going on right now. And all the people worshiping men more so than worshiping the Creator, meaning Lord Jesus Christ, God. Holy, you know, and relying on, and not relying on him, but they're relying on their worldly wisdom instead of relying on godly wisdom. I see a lot of this going on in the Church of Christ today. And it's so evil and so wrong, because God is not a part of those churches. Just like all these other denominationals out here. Don't get me started. Because I go in there and it really disgusts me. There's a lot of good, fine people there, but I'm going to hell because of what they're doing. Because they're not teaching the truth. They're out there lying. They're out there trading the truth for a lie, like Scripture says. Because they're teaching all this adultery and all this idolatry worship. And that's more glorifying to worship men instead of worshiping God. That's who we should be worshiping, God. A risen, live Savior. Why aren't you singing like that? Why aren't you preaching and teaching like that? A lot of churches are going, people just sound like robots. Yep, Jesus died on the cross. Instead of saying, Jesus died on the cross to save us, to resurrect us. Like E.O. was saying this morning. Like Preacher Mike was saying this morning. He was saying it live. Like I'm saying it this morning. Getting in it. When you feel an emotion in it. Because that's what it does to you when the Christ is in you and the Holy Spirit's in you. Amen. That's what it's about, people. We got to get back to those basics, ABCs, amen, and really show that spiritual fire, that zeal, that tenacity that the early church had that a lot of people don't have today. But yet they call themselves Christian, which to me sounds like a joke. They don't act like it. So, you know, you see what I'm saying? We got to get back. We got to re-examine our life, re-examine ourselves, most importantly, and see if we're aligned and attuned with Christ. Are we more in tune with the world? How's your compass, like Compass Christian Church the name. I love the compass. But we all have that same compass. If we're going to follow the teachings and will of the world, or we're going to follow the teachings and the world life-changing message and principles of the commands of Jesus. Hopefully you chose choice B. We want to mirror after Christ, the Lord, our Savior, not mirror after any hero or anybody in this world who is not mirroring after Christ. It's Christ alone. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my victory in the power of the cross. Let every victory, let it be said of me, my choice of strength. He's my choice and only hope. In Christ alone, he's my choice of strength. He's my choice of hope. In Christ alone. You see, that's what it's about, people. He and only he alone. Not anything else getting in blocking that vision, that path. He and only him alone. And the gospel tells us his news is light. His message is fire. His message is transcending to all communications and all generations. You might as well say communications, because that's generations. Amen. We are all connected when we are all true brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach the message like it's alive. Preach the word like it's alive. Like Bobby Wallace, like E.L., you know, like Mike, like Michael DeSilvas, like many, Pastor Tad, like Pastor Brian. Preach the message like you really mean it. Show it in your life. Don't just memorize it, but apply what you're saying to your congregation. Be a mirror of that glass, what you're trying to present through your sermons and songs and ministries that you do with Celebrate Recovery, with Broken Change of Jesus, Dare, you know, all these things. You know, even AA. Show what you really are teaching. Show how you lead by example as a group leader, a sponsor, accountability partner, your chaplain, a minister, a youth minister, a youth director, a dean of college students, a president of a college, a Christian university. But show wherever you are, in any church or school across this land where children are, and a Christian school, really amplify that word and apply it. So students say, I want that. How do you do that? How are you so happy with all the stuff that's going on? How do you do it? And you can simply tell them, it's Christ that is in me that makes me do these things, because it's he that has a better plan for you, just like he does for me. And I want to share that with you this morning. And I'm rising above fear in order to do it. I'm not going to let oppression or censorship or any dictatorship or any fascism or any tyranny or, you know, any of this martial law or any of this crazy, stupid stuff the devil's trying to weed away our country every day more and more. With open borders, or with terrorism being so high in the country, every day we can have a major incident because all the people that are coming here, they're unvetted or checked. Because of the laxities of the policies of the Clinton, of the Joe Biden and Obama even before him put in place. And more, Pence was a sellout. I knew he was a sellout. He was a liar because he turned on Trump when he should have been there to advocate for him. And he's still doing it now when he said, I'm not going to announce Trump. See, people show it in their action because they're in fear because they were bought. They were sold out. They gave in. They cowered. They were a shield, and they gave in the truth for a lie. And that's what Mike Pence did. That's why he's acting that way. Because he really wasn't for Trump. He was a sellout. And that's why he'll never be in the place where he was again, in his position like he was, because he lied and he was a two-faced shield because he wanted to put Trump in jail, and that's why a lot of these things, I think, are happening, because he's part of it behind the scenes, because he never was the man that he claimed to be. And there's a lot of people like that. I say him, Mike Pence, because there's a lot of people just like him in your churches, in your schools, in your towns where you live. They've gotten lazy and complacent and gotten waylaid and traded the truth for a lie for all the nonsense and stuff that comes with the world, like the rich young ruler did. He didn't want to give it up. But see, when you're a Christian, you have to give up things when they're holding you back. When they're holding you back, you have to give it up, because it'll keep you from going to heaven if you don't. It could cost you your life, eternal life. Some of you this morning are in that boat. That's why I'm saying this. The Holy Spirit says this. Say it, Mike. Don't hold nothing back. Who cares what Facebook does? Because they'll be gone. They keep doing this. They won't be Facebook anymore. It won't really matter. Because it's all going to go to hell anyway. Because if they're not going to treat people right, they're not going to have many people on their platform. So they're going to end up going dark. Meta's going to go down too. All of it's going down. They keep going that way. I'm just telling the truth. That's what's going to happen to them. Just like YouTube is nothing like it was, because of what they're doing with censorship. They're losing tons of business, and it doesn't matter if they care or not, because it's all by design. Okay? It's all by design. But see, we got to punch through those holes of fear and be loving, mature, courageous. You know, I want to be courageous to tell the world about Jesus. I want us to be courageous to tell me about the Lord. You know, we've got to be like that, like that song says. It's very true what it says. It's living words, transformational. We need to be like that with our walk, our talk, and what we do on a daily basis. Amen? It's so important, you know, that Christ is always first in our lives. You know how Trump says the nation is first? Well, we need to put God first in our lives. And I don't mean idol God. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Them idol gods, you need to kick them to the curb. You stop watching that sport so much. I know I probably make somebody mad, but you know, some people watch that stuff so much that it seems like they even value that more than they do church, some of the way people act. So if that's a problem for you, you need to cut it out, like a cancer. Because those things can become a hindrance and be a cancer. Like the Bible says, cut it off. Not literally, but cut it out. Stop doing it. That's what it means by cutting it off. Get rid of it. Excuse me, I got a lot to say. I'm getting so excited, it's making me cough, amen. Jesus, root those demons so I can finish this sermon. So important. But we got to cut out all that nonsense and garbage. You know, that saying I said, you know, on Facebook, I really meant it. Everything I write, I mean. We got to stop treating people like garbage, because they are souls. They are broken, wounded people, vessels that can be repaired and be healed by Jesus. And only Jesus can heal them. No one else can do it. No doctor, no quick help book, no seminar, no group. If Jesus isn't in it, it's all meaningless. You're just going to go back to the way you were. Because apart from God, you cannot recover from any illness. You cannot recover from any habit, any hang-up, any hurt. God must be a part of it, whether it's Celebrate Recovery, whether it's AA, whether it's the DARE ministry, but God must be a part of it. And all these organizations know what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're not doing it, because they are. But Broken Chains of Jesus, God has to be a part of the healing process. That's the only way you can heal. Without God, that's why AA has a low retention rate. Because they say higher power, and they don't give him the credit and glory by saying his name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, yeah, they might believe it, but they need to say it. Don't just say higher power. You know, because that could be anything. Okay? And Celebrate Recovery and Broken Chains for Jesus, we say the Lord, even in Broken Chains of Jesus Christ, it's in the name. There's no way to get around it. So why are you not saying it? People, Reverend, churches, this morning, this afternoon, tonight, wherever you may be on the side of heaven, you need to say and do what you say, like EL does, like I do. I'm on fire because I love Jesus and I want to tell people about it. I don't want nobody going to hell. I don't care. They come and get me and kill me. I didn't commit suicide. I want to tell you that right now. I don't care because I ain't in it for them. I'm in it for Jesus. I'm in it for Jesus. I don't care. Because he's the only thing that really matters to me. All these other things that are out here don't matter. The only thing that really matters, guys, folks, is Jesus. That's the only thing that should matter to you. You understand? The way everybody does everything with the world and everything, it doesn't show that. And Jesus is very upset and very angry by it. I know he is. You can see the judgment that's happening all over, including here in America. There's horrible storms that came through. Because God is unhappy with the way this country is going. God does not like all this injustice happening to his children. I'm talking about the children, even the adults. Oh, we're all his children, but especially the little boys and girls. God is unhappy with the way the schools have become satanic. God is unhappy with the way everything is because it shouldn't be that way anywhere in the world. Including here. But it is. And so all these storms that are happening in places where you see these unbelievable things happening, whether it's through weather modification, cloud seeding, or chemtrails, or whatever it may be, it's not climate change. It's because God is getting mad as all get out. Because he's tired of all this stuff happening. And these are the pains the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation. Open your eyes, brethren. We are in the last days. We really are. And that's not an oversight. It's the truth. Look at everything that's happened. I've never seen all this stuff happening ever before. Whatever happened like this. Where all the nations just perform and just want to do this new world order nonsense. No nation would normally do that normally. But they're doing it now because the Antichrist is here. He's not just a spirit, but he's really here in a body somewhere. There's something really going on. Look at all the people getting crazy in all the churches, and more things are happening in the churches. Look at how people are acting, how their hearts are not right, and how they're not lying with the truth, but they're lying with lies. And lying with voices that are tearing things and dividing people and tearing churches and dividing them against themselves. It shouldn't be like this. Either here or nowhere. We have God in our life. If we have God in our life, and we really are Christian like we really are, we should be a whole lot better than what we are in this nation. And all the things that are happening shouldn't be happening. Because the judgment that we are having is because of those things. God is angry, hurt. It's like he's getting beaten up all over again. And that's what they're doing. Every time people get defied, and it's like the conscience is gone. There's no kindness much anymore. Nobody wants to give somebody a ride to church. Nobody will hire you because you don't drive. You know, they want to make up all these excuses when you can do something profoundly good, but yet they don't want to hire you because you need some more help than everybody else. And it's like everyone's selfish, and they don't want to realize that they could be blessed by hiring somebody. So they can have a chance to really do something impacting and life-changing for Jesus and for the ultimate good. But yet they want to see all and make all these excuses and hide in their little protected or little bubble without hurting anybody. Oh, it's all inclusion. Well, everybody's going to hell because nobody's knowing the truth and about love that they need to know about Christ's love. Very love. And we need to get more like that in church. You know, this month is called, I call it the Coming Alive Month. You know, spring's coming in next week. You know, we have St. Patty's Day, which I don't really care less about St. Patty. But anyway, that's what it was today. And then we have all this stuff coming up on Thursday, downtown Washington with all, which is really good. How to change people by knowing and getting help with their mental and their mental paralysis and their addictions. We'll all be down there on Thursday. And also through the weekend, there'll be marathons happening next week. All kinds of things going on that are going on here in Washington. And all these things are wonderful, monumentally good. You know, where was this 20 years ago? I don't know. But we still have a lot more to do with the mentally ill among us, as well as the people that have addictions. We are just stepping in the pond but we have a lot more work to do than what we're doing. You know, a lot of what we're doing is small, but we need to do a lot more of it. Amen. We got to get more impacted with the community, because the way we're going to heal this cancer, whatever form it takes, whether it's through the sexualization of our children, gender euphoria or confusion or dysfunctional families, you know, how it takes form, as these are all the different cancers that are in our society that Jesus talks about in the body and how it's affecting the church body. Amen. Because it really is. Because the symptoms are really there that progress spiritually in the church very body. You know, where Paul says the hands have a job, the feet have a job. Well, everybody, that means everybody has different talents and abilities to bring to that body as a collective group. And your church, where you're at, that's your body, your spiritual body, not the body you have. But it's the spiritual body that makes up that church congregation wherever you are. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So if you got any of these cancers, the hurts, the habits, the hang-ups, the strongholds, you've got to cut them off. Stop it. Because it's hurting your chance to go to heaven. It's hurting your chance to be with Jesus eternally.
Okay. 1 p.m.
Okay. And most importantly, it's hurting your chance to ever really get to know Jesus in the real third dimension. Because you won't be there, because you'll be put to death with all the people that fell away because of what you chose to do. By not getting rid of these worldly gods, these worldly behaviors, these worldly attitudes, and most importantly, worldly habits and traditions. Because traditions won't save you either, I hate to tell you. But the Bible will. And what the Bible has in it, what it teaches, will. And what Christ ultimately did and said, will. And what he's the only one that can truly save you, most importantly, paramountly, over anything else. There's nothing else out here apart from Christ that can save you. But through baptism, through being born again by immersion, and by taking communion as a reminder to serve as a purpose of what he's done for us, and all these things build upon each other because they save us and remind us. We don't do it for membership. We do it for a changed life. We do it to give respect and reverence to what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, death, burial, and resurrection coming up on the end of this month when we have Easter service. The most important thing of all that Jesus says as a reminder, dovetail, every week is a Resurrection Sunday. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you all. I love you all. In conclusion, stay true to the course. Teach nothing but the truth in your church. Whether you're a layman, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a youth minister, or whether you're head or led or associate minister or teacher in school, secular or private, always let your light shine before the world to take out the evil and darkness any way you can, especially right now for the children's sake. Everybody, I love you. God bless you. It's Michael DeSilva from New Hunter Church of Christ, Facebook, and Love FM, XM Radio, and Terrestrial Satellite Network. Y'all have a great, blessed day. Godspeed, everyone. You want to help us out? Please send a donation to us. We definitely do need it so we can do more powerful preaching and the Word like you don't hear much anywhere else. This is the real. This is the truth. This is Michael how he really is in real life in churches behind the pulpit and on the air. This is the real thing. This is what should be going on in all churches. Just like that. Kick it hot. Keep it fresh. And keep it real. And always tell the truth. And don't worry about what people think or say. What you got to worry about, folks, is what God says. Remember that, folks. I love you. I want you to be here. I know that God, he loves you. Yes, he does. That's why he sent his Son to die on the cross, the cloud of thorns that raged upon his head. As the Roman centurion put a spear in his side, as the blood flowed from his side, and know it's Jesus' love so much died of a broken heart. Oh, yes, the old broken heart, the love of Jesus. Everybody have a good day. It's a little sample of a new song I'm working on. Take care. I love you. God bless. And of course, there's music with it, too. It's beautiful, too, as well. Take care. I love you. Bye-bye. All right, so there you go, folks. I hope you liked that message. I'm going to go out here momentarily. And I'll see you kicking it hot and fresh on Facebook and on the radio. And I'm going to sign off here on the other system here. So everybody have a great day. God bless you. Take care. Stay in the truth.